And something so fun. So we had this we've been real like super blessed. We're part of a co-op and they do their own graduation and it's super sweet. And it's just really special because you know pretty much all the kids and the families and really they're just, you know, a bunch of parents that got together years ago and just said, hey, how can we honor God? So it's kind of a special thing. And so it's just funny to me. I'm sorry. It's just funny. So they do this thing to where, and I should have known. So, you know, it's a stage kind of like here, and then, you know, the graduates come from one side, and they're hanging out, and I'm like, oh, it's a combo. So we're doing a kindergarten graduation and a senior graduation, the same event. And it was so good. So, you know, the kindergartners, they're just ready, right? And there's a bunch of guys. There's a few girls mixed in, but they were just ready. And then, so it starts, and they're up, man. They're moving. They're grooving. They get to their spot. They go right up on the stage, and they had the chairs, you know, right up front and on each wing. And then they're up. And then little boys do what little boys are going to do, right? Like, they go from completely still to wiggling to moving to staring up, looking at the thing, the tassel. Like, I'm sure that was a very natural tassel, no dye. There's probably nothing in it. But one of those kids, I mean, he ate half the thing. Like, he was just chomping on it. Like, it's funny. And, you know, like, all the parents, you know, you kind of look around the room every once in a while, and you can see the dad's just like, you know, and mom's like doing hand motions and trying to, you know, and it's funny. And so it's super sweet. And, you know, so the ceremony gets going and then, you know, then it's just great. And so then the kindergartners got their diploma, right? Man, you thought like the wedding toast cross arm thing was complicated. Like when you see, you know, like getting married, that, you know what I'm talking about? The interlocking drink thing. It was basically that, plus facing the wrong direction, plus confused, plus smiling on command. So, I mean, we're talking the kid is wrong direction and then turns around and the poor teacher, I mean, you could tell they practiced. They wanted to do it so bad. It was just inside of them and they were concentrating and just their face and they're grabbing it and they turn their head and then, okay, smile, and then right back. I mean, it was great. So then, you know, the kindergartners, they get off stage, and, you know, then the seniors, and they're telling just, you know, wonderful things, and that most of the kids got a chance to talk, like, it was just really special. So, okay, fast forward to the end, and the tassel thing gets moved over, and there are songs and stuff, and then, okay, and then this is where it gets good. And I mean, I knew, I'm a guy, like, I knew this. I mean, there's basically no difference between kindergarten and a senior. There just isn't. And it came out. So, like, one of the guys, so we get to the end, and everyone stand up, and the parents and people are crying, and grandparents are proud, and, like, all the things. And then they launched their, I don't even know what you call the hat thing. The hat thing, you know? Okay. And of course, right, the girls are beautifully decorated and, you know, obviously they spent time on them and the guys, they just like look, they, you know, it was fine. And okay, so it's tying and they throw the hat and whoosh! And of course, there was a guy that he was like a bigger, taller dude. And just like that kindergartner, he launches that dude. Whoa! And like, I'm watching it. I'm thinking, boy, that wasn't a good idea. And, you know, the girls, it's just this flow and this thing. And then that hat comes up and it's just spinning and it goes completely vertical, right? Like just turned and it comes down like a rocket. Whoom! And it disappears in between two chairs. Like had fabric on them, you know, they're decorated. And, you know, the girls, they're just, you know, and they flutter off the stage and they grab their hat and... And then, you know, he's just like looking. He's like, where's my hat? Like he is. And so It was so great. Like, so the hat disappears. He's not leaving without his hat. Ladies and gentlemen, that hat was going to be found. And he's just like, and the whole room is just kind of watching this, just going, like, to the point, like, you know, the lady in charge, she's like to the mic and she's just like, oh, honey, it's okay. We're going to get your hat. Like, it's fine. And then he just realized. He's like, I am currently the center of attention. Everyone in the room is watching me. And he just shrinks right back down to a kindergartner. And, you know, they're playing the procession music. And it's just, I was like, yep. No difference. Kindergarten, senior, it was great. So I just had to share like just one moment from really no point other than I just thought it was funny. Okay. Hey, we're going to be hanging out in Psalms 128. Cell phones are okay. I'm assuming you're not on Facebook. You're in the Bible. The paper Bible thing, you know, those still exist. Like you can pull it out. So we're going to be in 128. And this was like really interesting to me. We've been having just friends and talking about it, and me and Jen, and we do like some marriage counseling stuff every once in a while, and family's over, and Jen kind of pushed me towards this. She was just like, do it. I'm like, okay. So I was praying and I was thinking about it in Psalms. This is just such a good verse. We're going to have to move fast, and I'm not going to have a ton of time to break it down, like the words and the history and the stuff. But I just want to read it real quick to start off, and then we'll just break this down. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be a blessing for the man who fears the Lord. And when I read that earlier this week, I was just like, it just hit me. Okay, so let me break that down a little bit. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. That's kind of a weird thing for like American English, right? Fear the Lord, like how does that work? And me and my dad spent some time even yesterday just going through, I don't know how many different versions and looking at it, like trying to figure out, like, you know, okay, so fear the Lord. So like in America, especially in our interpretation of fear the Lord in American English, right, it's, that has a real negative sense, like fear, you know, scary movies, scary dreams, something unexpected, right? You wouldn't say that's a positive word generally, but I mean, it's right there. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. So once you really start breaking that down, let me read just a second. Let's go like the Amplified. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be invited. Blessed is everyone who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who walks in his ways and lives according to his commandments. Here's how I think about it when the Bible's referencing fear the Lord. Me and my dad, we like going to the swamp. And there's something interesting when you're in the swamp in Arkansas, especially where we go. There's a place called Cottonmouth Alley. There's lots of snakes. We see snakes every time we go out, unless it's absolutely winter. We saw a few snakes last weekend. They thrive there. There's a ton of snakes. There's a really interesting thing about whenever you walk upon a snake. Do you know what is front and center when you see a snake? That snake. Like every thought, every step, it is just at the top of your mind. You know where you are and you know where the snake is, right? Like you just don't want to mess that up. So you're careful, you pay attention. Okay, think about that in a positive way. If God is at the front of your mind in everything you do, We honor him. We worship him. So what I really feel like when you start breaking, and we just don't have time this morning, but when you start breaking down that word and looking at it and just kind of the context and how the Lord has used that word all throughout the Bible, you start understanding what they're trying to communicate. What they're trying to communicate is he needs to be right there. Like every step you take, like every maneuver, everything you do, he is right in front. He's not behind. He's not an afterthought. Because I promise you, you never forget the snake's there. And then it's amazing. Like 7 hours later, walking back out of the swamp or the woods, I know where that dude was. And you just kind of slow down and you just kind of, you know, and who knows? That's the last place I saw him. Right? Like it's very much in your mind. And I think it's so interesting, right? How the Lord was trying to communicate that to us. So this is what I just kind of want to break down this little section 1-4 in Psalms 128. So blessed. You guys know you're blessed. Like we could probably camp out the whole morning just there. Blessed who honor and worship the Lord and who obey him. Okay? I'm going to call that our foundation. That's where we start this whole thing. Today, I kind of want to walk through what's it like to have a relationship with him? What's it like to work? What's it like to have a family? What's it like to raise kids, right? And I know that's some pretty fast subjects to hit right in a row. But we're about to have a great summer. We're about to talk about some really cool things. And I think this will tie in with the summer is it's just a really interesting thing. So relationship. Do you know what I do? This was so funny. I got to talk about this just a few days ago with somebody where they were basically asking, like, how do you pray? Like, really? How do you actually pray? And the first thing that came to mind is, well, he's my friend, and I have a relationship with him, so basically anything that's inside my heart that I'm concerned about or worried or grateful or basically any thought, anywhere I am at any time, I just talk to him about it, and that's how I start. And it's that simple. Like, Jesus on the cross, the Holy Spirit coming down, like all that stuff, right? Like there's all of those things that were done so intentionally for us means that right now today, God is with me when I was yesterday, when I was weed eating, just as much as he's going to be with me Monday morning at work, where I get to talk with broken people and people that are stressed and people that have problems, just as much as he cares deeply about helping me solve problems or all that stuff. Like, and it's just a communication throughout the day, me and the Lord. So that's really where we start. So don't go anywhere else until that's part of your life, man. And I would just start 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Just start. And the Lord speaks to us in so many ways. Sometimes it's a thought. Sometimes it's idea. Sometimes it's just like this invisible to the world, but not invisible inside my heart hug, right? Sometimes it's a encouragement. Sometimes it's caution. Pay attention. Sometimes it's stepping out. Okay, I'm gonna smile. I'm gonna ask that lady behind me in line if she's okay. Sometimes it's all these different things, right? It's nudges and ideas and thoughts and pictures. And each of you, if you want help, if you would like to talk about that, it's so easy. It's not complicated. And it's just a relationship with him throughout the day. As I have victories and concerns and everything else, and sometimes, honestly, it's just hanging out with him. Do you guys know what it's like to just have a friend? in a friend that created you. Everything inside of you, this entire world, every relationship, every challenge, every growth, like, it's incredible. So no matter where you are on your journey, first day, first prayer, or you've been at this a really long time, keep hearing his voice. Keep prioritizing in that your life. I thought that verse said it so well, right? Fear the Lord. Man, he needs to be at the top of your mind. And things and the blessings and like everything else will flow out of that. But it's really neat. Let's see. I think, well, let's go to verse 2. Isn't this wild? You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. He wants us to work. Like, you know, like even pre the tree, right? Work was a part of God's plan. Isn't that interesting? Like, he could have skipped it. He didn't have to do that. Why would he do that? Do you ever think about that? Like, work, really? It's really interesting to me. The Lord created this entire thing for relationship with him. And when we work, something incredible happens. What happens? Fruits of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours. This is really fun to me. So work is stewardship of what you have, right? So like in the beginning, right, Adam and Eve, we started with the garden. They took care of God's garden for him. So there's really no difference now. I happen to do like IT computer stuff, but it's God's garden. And he entrusted me to take care of that. So how I think about it is, and I really do, is no matter what I'm responsible for, because I really do believe the word, that he created work for his, for everything's good, right? Like everything inside. So he created work. So how does that work? Just real practically. Here's how I think about it. And I have gone warehouses, digging, every type of manual labor. I started repoing when I was 14 years old for the family rent-to-own company. Like, work has, like, always been a part. Don't send your kids repoing at 14. Just saying. That's weird. Don't do that. Sorry, Dad. Yeah. it was just always a part of me, right? Like, so, but this is just what God does. When you take care of something, even if it's not yours, even if you don't own it, even if it's owned by shareholders and big corporations or, you know, all that stuff, God just does, the blessings always follow. So dads and moms, hear me. It doesn't matter if you're working hourly. It doesn't matter if you're working for the man. It doesn't matter if the company you work for is great or it's not great or your coworkers or here's just what I believe. And I've seen this play out my entire life is every single time that I looked at that as stewardship, right? That is something God gave me. That job, that moment, where I was at, and I took care of it like it was me. I was going to be the best 14-year-old repo guy you've ever seen. I was going to do that with the most grace and smiles and give people as much dignity as I could because they couldn't pay their bills, right? Like, I was going to do that the best way and the most safe way possible. Warehouse work, I was going to be the, you know, stacking cardboard and opening stuff. And like, I was going to treat that product like it was mine. It was important. I was going to handle it like it was going in my own house. I was going to treat, right? What does all that mean? There's something to being intentional about what your hands are doing and that relationship. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're at, whether your coworkers, you like them, you don't, your job, all that stuff. Every time I have done that with intentionality and I treated it right, I picked up trash. I paid attention. I looked. I planned ahead. I was on time. I was respectful. I really was. Like, I treated it as best I could like it was mine. And God just brought blessings and raises and promotions and all those things, like all the stuff the world ranks and files as important. Yep, he made more this year than last year, and like all that stuff. That really wasn't ever my goal. My goal was always that relationship. This verse is really interesting. Like, I think God did that really on purpose. So where's he saying he starts? We start with blessing. We start with him, number one. And the very next thing that this psalm's talking about is work. Isn't that wild? That as you take care of your garden, wherever that garden is, that's a super important step, okay? And guys, I'll just speak like real practically. It is so easy in today's world to not agree with or like your boss, your manager, the rules being thrown at you, the processes and procedures, right? Layoffs and like all the stuff. It is, in fact, if you listen to the news just a little bit, that's basically what they're talking about, right? Every layoff, everything that happens, every time an employer took advantage of, and I'm not saying there aren't challenges. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But I can honestly say I have never worked any place in my life that within a few weeks, the atmosphere, whatever the atmosphere was, started improving. Because God's presence and his love and his peace and everything else that God does is unstoppable. It's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. What does that mean? That means people that work with me are happier. I'm just telling you, they legit are. Usually, things go better. Like, you know, and that's just the truth. And it's not me. It's the Lord. It just is the Lord. If you start taking care of your garden, whatever it is, inside a warehouse, running a truck, around people, retail, not service, like it doesn't matter. Whether you're working in a huge crowd or by yourself in a farmer's field, that thing inside of us that the Lord has done inside of us is unstoppable. It's really true. What I found is people that are mean or not nice or managers that are demanding or unreasonable or, do you know what I found out? They're just hurting just like everybody else. And they have fears and anxiety and stress and family that's crazy and everything else, right? When you do that with the Lord and you start taking care of your garden real practically, does that necessarily mean I'm the best at every category at work? Not even close. I have techs that are 10 times better at me technically and like all the kind of stuff. It doesn't mean every single thing that you're the top in. What it does mean is every single area I rely on the Lord. And I just get a chance almost every day, 4 or 5 times a day, I get a chance to speak into somebody's life, to encourage them, to let them know it's going to be okay, let them know there's an answer, let them know that there is somebody that made this place for them and that a relationship with him is really it. So your garden, and I really do mean, whether your garden has people in it, stuff, products, dirt, whatever it is, that can be done with him no matter where you are at the scale, hourly, salary, benefits, no benefits, you're looking for a job, you're changing jobs. If you do that with him, you will see the culture, is a little more businessy term for that, the atmosphere start changing around you, and it grows like wildfire. Even if it just starts with you by yourself, and then maybe your coworker, and then like, right? Like usually almost everybody has a manager or a boss or something. And God will start blessing that. And as God starts blessing the company, the business, the nonprofit, the teachers, the school, wherever you're at, things will change. this is really funny to me that in even the order, you're blessed, keep God, the relationship with the Lord's sinner. We're working, we're doing that with stewardship. And then it starts talking about our home. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Let me just stop right there. Man, this is something me and Jen have just done, and we're pretty weird, and I know, but this is just how we think, is we talked about what kind of home we wanted. And what I mean by that is, did we want yelling? Did we want screaming? Did we want chaos? Did we want, honestly, to raise our kids with sports? Did we want to focus on this or that or education? Or, right, like we talked big time, huge, big conversations about what kind of home do we want? And then after we prayed and talked about it, and we just spent a lot of time there when we very first got this family thing started, and we just said, okay, we're going to do that. We are going to be incredibly intentional about how we spend our evenings, how we speak to each other, how we have disagreements, how we go through challenges, how we're going to support each other, how we're going to, what hobbies we're going to have, how we're going to spend our time. And like, I know that just sounds crazy because so many of our friends, right, life just kind of happens. Whatever was, you know, on that night, whatever show was on is what we were going to watch. Or, yeah, we're tired, so we're eating out tonight. Or, right, like sometimes if you're not careful, it's really easy to fall into letting your circumstances determine the kind of house you're going to have. And that's kind of default for a lot of Americans, right? Because we work hard during the day, we get to the evening, and it's just kind of like, ugh. And then, you know, you look up, and it's 5 hours later, and then you go to bed. And don't get me wrong, me and Jen, we have nights like that. Sometimes we're just tired, but I can tell you, for the most part, we have followed that pattern of being super intentional about what we do in the evenings, how many after-school activities we do, what sports, all this stuff. Because what I figured out was, and me and Jen just kind of believe this, and you absolutely can do sports and dance and like all that stuff, and that's okay. But I do know the thing that actually makes a difference, like long-term with our kids, is them seeing mom and dad demo a relationship with the Lord. And us being the primary voice in their lives and guiding them towards him. And that's what me and her decided to do. So I wanted to make sure that a coach, a teacher, a sports team, a name it, right, wasn't the loudest voice in our house. We were just super intentional about that. So that means, dads, real practically, I like sports. I honestly don't watch sports very often, even though I like that. I gave that up years and years and years ago. I mean, football and like all the stuff, it's cool, but the thing lasts like 3.5 hours or something. And I don't have that many evenings to give up for that. There's a lot of things we just decided to set down that's like, hey, that's neat. And I'll occasionally watch the Super Bowl every few years if I can, if it works with the family schedule. But I don't design anything around that. To me, my number one goal is to make sure that I'm accessible and present and around to keep the voice that my kids are hearing the correct one. Yeah. So, this idea of building a home, the idea of a garden, me and Jen have this little bitty garden, and we've made so many mistakes over the years, but for, you know, you got to get the dirt ready, and then you got to think about what to plant, and then where to plant it, and do you water it, and then bugs, and then these stinking tomato worms show up overnight, and right, like, it's hard, I'm just telling you. And it's so deceiving, right? You're looking at that tomato plant and you're like, yes, look at it. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. That tomato plant probably cost me $500, but it is great. It's growing. And then it's just like every leaf on it disappears and it's dead in a day. Like, like this garden thing, what I've really learned about having a garden is you have to be so intentional about looking at it, caring for it twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. Like you just have to look. You have to turn over the leaves. You have to look for these little specks that at first I didn't know what they were. They're bug eggs. They're not good. They're like you just have to pay attention to all this stuff because it takes real care to take care of plants to grow up to produce fruit and to remove the weeds, okay? God gave us that idea real intentional in the Bible, right? It's through the entire thing, isn't it? So this verse, going right back to when it's talking about your wife and a vine, I don't think that's so intentional. That wasn't by accident. It takes care to have healthy fruit in your house. And family and circumstances and trauma and divorce and so many broken homes, so many now generations, about 75, 85 years of Americans, right, can't even remember the last time that a husband and wife were married to the same person, right? Like if you start looking at some of the statistics and stuff, like 50% divorce rate, well, if you start doing the math, it's not that hard to get to the point where we're talking 3 and 4 generations of Americans now that never had a father in their life. There's more kids being raised by grandparents now than there ever has been. So there's all kinds of different flavors of family. But you know what I know is true? No matter whether it's you're raising your own kids, you have adopted kids, you're a grandparent with kids, you've been through a divorce, you got remarried. Like one thing that I know, it doesn't matter where you start your garden, it has everything to do with how you take care of it. And that will bring blessings and peace and love and all the things every single time. Whether your kids are serving the Lord, whether you want them to serve the Lord, whether your kids are grown, whether you don't know, like your voice has to be the strongest voice. And as long as you're guiding them to the Lord, man, I've made so many mistakes. I've messed up. I've been angry. I've been disappointed. I've definitely said the wrong thing in the wrong moment. But man, there's so much grace. There's so much mercy. There's so much that God just fills in and takes care of. As long as I just keep bumping and guiding the kids along towards Him. It's really, really, really neat. Okay, so let's just say, and notice I'm talking about all that stuff, and I'm saying all of those things happen, all that gardening, all the intentionality about our house happened before we had kids. No kids on the scene. We were that intentional, and I know that's kind of weird, we were that intentional before we had kids. And we continued being that intentional with our kids. And I'll go practical just for a minute or two here. Our kids have never slept, had a sleepover with anybody their entire lives at a friend's house. We're weird. Why do we do that? Because I want to make sure that my voice is the strongest voice in lives. And that's just what God called. Is that for every family? No. And that's okay. But we felt like that's what God told us. We really felt like that sports, I mean, just real practically, and Cabot's a wonderful city, and they have incredibly competitive and really good name the sports team, or sport, sorry, right? Traveling, and you could be busy every night of the week and entire weekends and go on 3 and 4 day tournaments around the country if you wanted to. Dance, same thing. You could travel, you could be in different cities, you could, right? Like all that stuff. Me and Jen, we just decided, like real practically, anything that became a larger voice than the Lord's and just wasn't for us. So we were super intentional about those decisions, how we spend our time, what movies we watch, how we talk, cussing to me, right? Me and Jen were like super intentional. Jen grew up in a house that was a little bit more normal, and yelling and anger and stuff. She's told her testimony a little bit. We're not okay with that. We're going to speak. We're going to be calm. We're going to communicate. We're going to listen to each other. We're not going to call each other names. Like, all of those decisions happened, okay, in the home stage. Okay, so raising children. Let's talk about that. So second half there of verse 3. Fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. And do you guys see, like, olives are kind of controversial. There's some people that love the things, and there's some people that avoid them like the plague. Who said amen?
Your father.
Ugh. I mean, God made them. Okay. So olives. Okay. To nerd out just a little bit about olives. So olives come from a tree, okay? Let's go to this picture here at the end. Isn't that a weird-looking tree? Like, it's just like huge trunk and then basically these really, really little bitty limbs, and it's just almost like a bush. And I love the intentionality in the heart in the Bible. Do you guys know much about olives? Like, They're interesting. So this tree, I mean, it honestly is kind of ugly. And you're thinking, why in the world would God, of all the things that produce fruit and seeds and all the things, why would he in that verse say, your children should be like an olive plant? Like, isn't that funny to me? Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about this tree. So they grow almost anywhere. It's really interesting. So the soil can be pretty poor and rocky and dry, and they're very, very hardy plant, okay, that grows into a tree. And then there's this interesting thing about this olive tree that it's fascinating to me. So when I heard this, I actually was like, that can't be right. So any guesses on how old an olive tree can go? Anyone? Anyways, how long does an olive tree go? 200 years? Okay, 2,000 years? 2,000 years is about halfway there. So they think that an olive tree, and actually it's been growing so long, they're just guessing, right, like at this point. 2,000 to 4,000 years for an olive tree? So what is God saying in this verse? He's saying, keep him first, stewardship, have an intentional home, and then your kids will change generationally. Like, isn't that wild? So this olive tree, you can catch the thing on fire, burn it to the ground, and the root system will stay, and it will grow a new trunk. Like, from nothing. It'll start over. But if you cultivate, if you take care of it, like the average olive tree, like we're talking Pizza Hut olive producing tree, right? Like the thing that you're eating. The average tree is 200 to 600 years old. Like just a normal one being made for just us. Isn't that crazy? So what God is saying is, I mean, that's just wild to me. The foundation's him, the stewardship, the work idea, right? We build an intentional home, and then our kids will become olive trees. That means that no matter where you start, no matter what your history is, no matter you broken homes and divorces and trauma and abuse and all the things that happen, that with your own kids at your house, what the Lord is saying is for generations, it'll change everything. For thousands upon thousands of years, the spark that's planted in your family's life will change. Isn't that incredible? Like, that just blows me away that money and inheritance and like all that stuff, and like your literally what that means is your family tree will be affected for generations, because that's how powerful the Lord is once that spark catches. And then the ending of that verse is really interesting. So verse 1 and verse 4 kind of mirror each other. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who what? Fears the Lord. Isn't that crazy? That as we keep him front and center, that this transformation happens, where we get to have a relationship with him, we learn to work and steward, we learn to cultivate our own house, and then we get to take care of these kids that get planted in generational change. So long past when I go meet the Lord, long past when my kids go meet the Lord, those generation upon generation upon generation start with just me in a relationship with him. Isn't that wild? So that takes faith. That takes action. That takes, and it's challenging. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. There's bills, and there's stuff to pay, and there's fears, and there's worries, and there's kids at daycare that bit your kid, and there's, right, like, there's diapers. Man, have you guys seen, have you guys seen the price of formula? Some of us out of the baby stage kind of forget this. It's like, come on, some mama help me. It's like $60 a can or something right now. Oh, yes. It's like, yeah, she's like, it's $60 a can. Okay. It is expensive. It's hard. It's challenging. And I don't know, like Camille, Jacob, like, it's really funny. Like, if they were going to have a meltdown, it was going to be not at the front of Walmart. It was going to be the back of Walmart. And, you know, like, I get it. Or, like, grandparents come over, and then, like, what falls out of Camille's mouth sometimes? I was just like, oh, man. Sorry, girl. You know, it's just funny. But, you know, why does that stuff happen? Why do our kids, if they're going to act out, it seems to be in public or around family, or, like, why does that happen? This is really interesting. Let's just go right back to that garden idea. This is how me and Jen really look at it. Every time that one of our kids messes up, makes a mistake, or flat out says no to us, or, right, like, open heck no to honestly not paying attention, or just growing up stuff, right? It doesn't matter. We always looked at it this way. We looked at it as God gave us an opportunity to, like, a window got open and we got to see inside their heart. That's how we view it. It's just a window. It's just a peek into inside. And you know what's so cool about when you open a window? You get to be influenced from something on the outside. And that was me and Jen's job. So when one of our kids messed up, disobedience, right in your face, to just being careless, right? Boys, just being a boy, right? Our Camille being so smart, and she's like, you think I'm doing that right? Like, it doesn't matter. It was the window opened up, and I took that with the greatest care and honor and privilege to have the chance to speak into that open window and start guiding towards the Lord. That's what we did. When we were tired, when we were sad, when we had people pass away, when we were facing health stuff, when we were facing mental health stuff, when we were, right, like it didn't, all of life keeps happening. But we took those window moments so seriously. And we just decided a long, long, long time ago, and I'm so glad we made this decision, is if a window's going to open up in one of our kids' lives, we are going to give that as much time and care as, and attention as it needs. So what does that mean? We didn't just swat or spank our kids, pop them on the rear, and send them in the room crying. We talked. We explained. We did everything with super intention. We looked at every moment as an opportunity. So dads and moms, what does that mean? Well, if you're watching a show or cooking dinner, we had lots of cold dinners. We just did. We missed a lot of stuff. We, like, honestly, that's just what happened, is because what we did was we just had these moments, and that was always our top priority. It was always our top priority. So we took so much care around that. And you know what's cool is that's just a picture of what the Lord does with us. He cares so much about you. He cares so much about you. And he never gets mad at the mistakes or sin or like all the stuff. He's after you. And he's going to answer and encourage. And sure, sometimes there's repenting. Sometimes, like, all that stuff still happens. But his primary concern is you and the relationship you have with him. And it's pretty neat, guys. So I just want to, we're almost running out of time. I just want to say that if you have time this week, I guess my challenge would be, think about these four verses, and it'd be a pretty cool way to start the summer. We're going to have a great summer. We're planning out, like, the sermon series, what we're doing. It's going to be really neat. There's lots of creativity and stuff, and summer's kind of a neat time because you have a little bit more time. That's not the rush and all the stuff. So just think about that. Hey, if you're a young parents, talk with your spouse this week about what kind of house you want to have. Hey, if work is a struggle, spend a few minutes with the Lord. Ask him what stewardship looks like. Ask him what that means. Truck, warehouse, retail, whatever it is. In an office, ask him. Hey, if you're in the raising kids thing, be intentional. Understand that this little olive in your care has the potential to be a generational thing in your family tree. It takes time, it takes passion, and you'll mess up and you'll make mistakes. Me and Jen certainly have. And every time I did, I just went right back to him. So, okay, could you guys stand up? We're gonna pray. And we'll end here. And I think Mr. Harvey's helping me out. I think we have a few teams. Flush, he's so good. Aren't you guys excited? Mr. Harvey, come on. I'm just appreciative of him. Yeah. I really am. All right. So, God, I'm so encouraged, God. That every word you wrote in this book, the order, all the way down to this olive tree, God, that you were so intentional for us. God, I just pray that you would touch everyone wherever they are this morning, God. We're at whatever phase, whatever where their focus is right now, God, I just pray that you would touch their heart. Just speak to us this morning, Lord. So I just had this thought, right? So that's part of this praying stuff. that he gives you an idea or a thought. Man, if you're a parent, and I just felt like this, if even talking about being a parent gives you immediate, like, yucky feeling, right? Like, just you, the first thing that comes to your mind is, oh, I messed that up. That's not where you need to stay. Okay? Like, if that was the first thought you had, it's too late. Man, you didn't see me this morning. Or, boy, you didn't see my last 20 years. Man, if that was your thought, the super incredible thing about the Lord is no matter where you are, man, if you're still breathing and you're here, it's not too late. Okay? Here's what I would do. And I would do this just as a prophetic thing. I think it's important this morning, if you're brave, even if you don't know what anything looks like, this is something you can control right now this morning, is once we release, we have some great teams praying this morning. Take a step out and get prayed for today. And let that be your first step. And our family nights, our small groups, me and Jen, like, we have resources available. We'll help you. We'll point you in the direction. You'll be just fine. But I promise you, the hardest part is that first step. So, okay. So God, thank you. Thank you for speaking this morning, God. Thank you for touching me and my family, Lord. And we're so honored. We're so privileged for what you did. Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great Sunday.